Hello and welcome to my latest match pod review for www.mufcglobal.co.uk. We, what Glazers out, we play out. Manchester United back in action, the final match of this Premier Games. It's been 2 weeks for both sides. But since their last matches, it's Manchester United at the Hill Dickinson Stadium against Everton. I'm just heading on to this. He's back. I'm sure he will have his thoughts on the match. I was very happy after the reverse Old Trafford, which was just a shocking performance from Manchester United. They need to back on track. Results can have gone for Manchester United, to be perfectly honest. The only one probably didn't, Liverpool asking it. Winner at Nottingham Forest, a goal Dennis will be very happy about, I'm sure. But for United, it's about them getting the results. They play one game a week for the rest of the season. They have got a massive opportunity to bag themselves a place in next season's Champions League. And that brings its own problems. But you'd rather get in than not get in at this stage. Because it looks like they'll probably be top five. So finishing in that fifth place. And they've got a great opportunity. Less matches. Less opportunities, arguably, for injuries, more opportunity to have players fresh and ready for football matches. That doesn't always work out in the fact that you'll get the results you want. But this is about the mentality of the Manchester United players. This is about them stepping up when they need to step up. This is an opportunity. Playing last sometimes puts the pressure on. But the results have gone their way, so they need to go to the Hill Dickinson Stadium, a place where Everton haven't won since... I think it's December. I think it was a Forest game, 3-0. I was looking at some time ago. But United need to carry on. They need to carry on putting the pressure back on Everton and making the fact that they're at a new stadium a bit of a nightmare. A bit like Spurs, to be honest. They're having a nightmare at their stadium as well. Although, obviously, their stadium's been around for a bit longer. The team news is in, and it is... I think it's pretty much the same team that played against West Ham, apart from one change. Sandro Martinez is injured. He misses out. So Leny Yoro comes straight in. He had a good cameo when he came on against West Ham, stopping, essentially helping United not go 2-0 down, which gave him the opportunity for that last-minute Sesko goal. But it's Lemenzin goal, back four of Dalot, Shaw's the full-backs. Then Maguire, and it's Leny Yoro, as I say, coming in at centre back. Probably Maguire to the left hand side, I would imagine, and Yoro on the right hand side. We'll see, obviously, when the teams line up. Midfield, it will be Casemiro and Mainoo, with Bruno Fernandes as the one further forward. And then up front, it's Mbeumo, Ahmad, and Cunha. They have sort of interlinked in their positions, sort of when they play. That's what we're interested to see where people set up for the game. So I'm just heading round to Dennis's. I'll be with him soon, and he'll be on the pod very, very soon with his thoughts on Manchester United, on Everton, and how the game might go tonight.
On the road,
so here he is, Dennis. Dennis is back on the pod. How's it going, Dennis?
I'm fine.
It's very good. Dennis is wearing an all-black outfit with some white trainers. But your thoughts on the game tonight then? Big game, Everton, Man United. Opportunity for Everton to do the double over Manchester United for, I don't know how long it is. I don't know if you've done any research. It's a long time. But what are your thoughts on the game tonight?
I've discussed it with a colleague already, Phil. I predicted a 2-week friend. So I'm wearing black because I'm in mourning for Manchester United tonight.
Really? That's classic Dennis. So what are your thoughts on Manchester United's season so far this season? It is a Manchester United pod, so we do have to talk about them for some part of the pod.
I guess, to quote an old cliche, the jury's still out, isn't it? You know, Carrick's made a mark, he's come in, he's done well. Got, I think, was it three or four victories and a draw. Was it a defeat as well or not?
No.
That's tonight, isn't it?
Good work, Dennis, good work.
No, so yeah, you can't fault what he's done. He seems to have given the players some confidence and just... probably just said, get out there and express yourselves and play to the standard that you're capable of. So maybe, I'm sure Amorim would have been plugging the same message, but I suppose it's, you know, if you've lost a dressing room, it's hard to get that message across. I guess he's got a bit of clout. He's a Manchester United legend, isn't he? So he's obviously been able to go in there and have a bit of an impact. So United fans are just probably going to say, long may it continue, but too early to predict yet.
I mean, so as I say, I've said before on the pod before you came on about how the results, pretty much all the results have really gone for United this weekend, apart from obviously a good one for your other team or one of your other teams, Liverpool, with that last minute winner. I mean, do United need to win tonight to try to solidify? I mean, there's a little bit of a gap between sixth and seventh now. So you're looking at maybe possibly only six teams getting in the top five. But this Premier League season has shown results can go any way. Look at Burnley at Chelsea. Would have never thought that result would have happened. So your thoughts?
No, it's not vital that you win tonight because, like you've just said, it's been topsy-turvy all season. And the point difference is very slender at the moment, and you can't rely on Chelsea and even Liverpool,
even though we still try to find out where your Liverpool teddy bear is. I got him a Liverpool teddy bear for his 60th and it seems to have disappeared.
So all those teams, you know, Manchester United included, Liverpool, Aston Villa, Chelsea, they've all become really unpredictable, so none of them are really contenders. Really, we know it's a bit of a two-horse race at the moment, and I do feel like Manchester City are probably overperforming at the moment. Or let's say overperforming in terms of results, because I still don't think they're convincing. But having said that, Arsenal haven't been, have they?
Maybe a message to our mate Ben is there. I mean, the Man United West Ham game, there wasn't very much between them, and Man United at the time were fourth and West Ham were third bottom. I don't actually think there's that much between that middle. The top two are clear, but there's not really that much between the rest of the teams. And if Everton win tonight, that pushes themselves right back into sort of pushing for at least Europe this season. And that Champions League, sort of, instead of it being maybe five teams for four positions, there's a lot of other teams that could get into this run of matches. So, Dennis, you say 2-1 to Everton. Who's going to get the goals?
I don't know. Barry's due a goal, so I'm going to say he's going to get one. And it'd be too predictable to say Dewsbury Hall's going to get another one after scoring the winning goal at Old Trafford. So I'm going to put Garner down for the second goal. 2-1, Garner.
And United's goal?
I don't know. Maybe Bruno's the obvious contender, I suppose.
I mean, I do want to ask you a question around sort of Everton and their new stadium. They've struggled. They've not won a league match. I don't think they've won a game there since Forest in December. Is there an issue at the stadium? Or is it more, because that Forest game, I think, was a Saturday 3 o'clock kickoff. Is it more about the fact that a lot of your games have been Monday night matches or night matches? Is it an issue with the time of the game, or is it just because it's a new stadium and you're bedded in? Because Spurs, they still have issues at their stadium winning matches. So is that something, you know, it's not Goodison Park. Whatever people say about Goodison Park, you go to Goodison Park, it was going to be a free ball atmosphere. They were going to give it to you. They're right, like West Ham at Upton Park, they were going to give it to you no matter how Everton were playing. There was going to be a difficult game. So what do you think it might be at the new stadium where you've struggled in some respects?
Yeah, you're best asking David Moyes, though. But the thing is, you know, I've only been there twice.
Hospitality, was it both times as well, was it?
Yeah. And it's hard to replicate, isn't it? You know, the same atmosphere. But, you know, there's a resounding noise around the stadium. It feels good, but you're still compensating for the loss of Goodison and what that represented. It was unique. Like you said, you know, any team going to Goodison knew they were in for a game, really. And it's a bit mad, isn't it, thinking that the actual environment of a stadium is going to swing a result. But it's obvious, isn't it? Like you said, Spurs, you know, any team going to a new stadium, you've got to bed in, I suppose, and adapt. And I suppose the players haven't really adapted yet. Some of the performances have been very weak, where they just haven't been competitive. And that's surprising for a David Moyes team. So I wasn't being flippant when I said you're best asking David Moyes. I think he hasn't put his finger on it yet. But I do think, actually, I do agree with one of the factors that you mentioned, the time. Oh, some, it's like, you know, afternoons, early evening, late evening. And it's, I think it does impact on the preparation for games sometimes as well, that. And psychologically it impacts on players. But I'm just probably clutching at straws, to be honest. So anyone listening, apologies. I've got no evidence for these hypotheses, as you'd imagine, Phil.
So there we go. There's Dennis. We and Dennis are off to the pub to watch the game together. So we'll be back post-match with our thoughts on the game. Dennis has gone 2-1 to Everton. I'm going 2-1 to Manchester United. I think Ahmad will score today. I think Brian and Mbeumo will score today. And I think Everton, with maybe the first goal of the match, I was looking at this youngster they've got playing, Harrison Armstrong. I was reading up and I've heard some good things about him, actually, from a couple of other Everton fans I was speaking to earlier this week. So maybe he will step up. So as I say, we will be back post-match with our thoughts on the game and just a little bit on the stadium thing. The thing with new stadiums now, everything's fancy for everybody. There's not like the classic old Wimbledon style turn, you know, making sure that the away team have it not to their home comfort. Everything is fancy. And I know one of my friends is also a big Everton fan. I like Dennis. He only supports Everton, though, my friend. Dennis obviously supports Liverpool and Leicester as well. So Dennis has a few other teams that he likes. Like Lincoln, he's supporting them because they're doing well in League One. But he's been to a few games, but he's had issues getting tickets or going because of the times of matches. As I say, there've been a lot of matches away from the 3 o'clock kickoffs. But do you know what? You get that when you're not in Europe, because Monday nights are great for teams that aren't playing on a Tuesday or a Wednesday. So, you know, maybe for both Manchester United and Everton, get yourself into Europe. You're gonna have more Saturday games, or at least Saturday afternoon or Sunday afternoon games. So, as always, thanks for listening so far. Dennis and me will be back post-match. And it's all over at the Hill Dickinson Stadium. It's finished. Everton 0, Manchester United 1. And an absolutely awful game of football. It was a Sesko goal, basically, made by Cunha through to Mbeumo into Sesko. Brilliant finish for the only goal of the game in what was, which basically was only ever going to be settled by some quality or from a set piece. To be fair to Everton, they had plenty of set pieces, just didn't create anything. But to be honest, United didn't either. United didn't deserve to win this game. Everton didn't deserve to win this game. It was an absolutely shocking football match. And it does make you think, as I've said to you on this podcast before, and we will get Dennis analysis as well. Basically, these players, oh my God. Even after going a goal up just after the 70th minute, it was all Everton. Everton were the better side in the first half, in the poor first half. Everton were the better side in the second half. But even after United scored the goal, it took them about 10 minutes to actually be able to find one another, each player with the ball. Every time they got the ball, they just passed it away to Everton players. Put the pressure on. And if one of Everton's 10 corners had ended up in a goal, they would have fully deserved it. And do you know what the funny thing is about this whole situation for me? The one time a player actually passed Isesco, he scored. I mean, Cunha should have actually been taken off for me, because he actually was breaking through, should have put the ball through Isesco, and he slipped. And do you know why he slipped? Because he was running away from Isesco. it's just an absolute joke. What I mean, it makes you think. I mean, people will say, well, they've had 2 weeks off, so, you know, they're a bit rusty. It was an embarrassing performance from Manchester United. It was an embarrassing performance from Everton. It was an embarrassing match for the Premier League. Because as I said after the West Ham game, there is not much difference between the teams below Manchester City and Arsenal. I mean, you could arguably say that. I would arguably say it, and that's harsh on Aston Villa, because I think Aston Villa have been better than the majority of the teams in third place. From Manchester United down in fourth now, 48 points, to second bottom, there is not much between the teams on their day at all. And Manchester United are going to have to improve the extra bit of quality. Yes, you want to get the result, and it's 100%. It's a big, big win for Manchester United. But as I say, I've said on here before, Michael Carrick had 17 games. He needs, as I say, 14 wins, two draws and a defeat, and give him the job. But I tell you, if that's the quality of football we're going to get for the next run of games, obviously if we get the results, fine. But that isn't good enough. It isn't good enough. Two absolute teams that didn't deserve anything out of this game. United have got the 3 points. But they've got the 3 points because they spent $200 million in the summer. Let's be perfectly honest. Everton didn't do that. And Everton, they had a back four of Garner, Tarkowski, Keane and Bramthwaite. And United didn't create anything apart from that one opportunity. But we will get Dennis's thoughts. We're just wandering back to Shay Dennis. And we'll get Dennis's thoughts on the game very soon. So we're back at Shay Dennis. He's getting some shredded wheat in. There you go. You can hear that rustling. So while he's rustling, your final thoughts on, let's be honest, what was an absolute dog. I mean, you call Harry Maguire a yard dog. It was that kind of game today where yard dogs flourish. It was awful, awful game. Your thoughts?
Just echo what you said. I mean, yeah, maybe the other players should have eaten some shared wheat to improve the performance. I mean, what stood out for me for both sides is they just literally, both sides, give the ball away needlessly. They weren't even under pressure. So it begs the question, what sort of passing drills are they doing? And it's sort of on the coaching ground.
What you've got to remember is... It's clearly not Michael Carrick's fault. That's what you've got to remember. But surely you could argue then, you know, it's all Ruben Amorim's fault, because that's what some journalists and some fans want to try and make it all about. But what it actually is, are the players cannot do the basics. As I say, both sets of these players cannot claim tiredness. They've had 2 weeks off. Rustiness is not an excuse. Any football team, a top... You ask Arsenal or Man City, they would love to have 2 weeks off at this time of the season. And I tell you what, if they did have 2 weeks off, we wouldn't see a match like that with two very, very... Well, it was a poor game of football. I don't think both sides are poor, but it was a poor game of football, which, well, as I say, doesn't do the Premier League any good. And as I say, United got over the line. As I say, it does help when you spend $200 million on players. And actually, it also helps when you actually pass to Benjamin Sesko. There is something going on there. They don't like passing to him for whatever reason. And the thing is, you bring a big lad on the pitch, put the ball in, put some crosses in. Everton had big men on the pitch, a lot of corners. They put crosses in. It did cause United some problems. Yes, the quality wasn't great from all of the corners. But it's like, what are they being asked to do? But anyway, any further comment, Dennis, on the game sort of?
I just think I actually feel a bit of sympathy for both sets of fans to pay good money to watch such poor performances. I mean, yeah, there was nothing. I mean, Everton were exposed in the end. They were taking a few risks, I suppose. That led to the Manchester United goal, just the one-on-one with Keane, who's not the fastest. Tarkowski was trying to get back, didn't have the pace. But it was unnecessary. Okay, yeah, we're trying to make the most of the corner. But don't go and lose the game just by poor defending. So tactically, you have to... I'm blaming Moyes, actually. I just think tactically... He was outwitted by Carrick tonight in some ways on the football pitch. He made a tactical substitution. And I knew as soon as he came on, I said, actually, that's going to have an impact. And it turned out to be the case.
What substitution was that? Was that the...
Sesko.
Oh, yeah. Carrick put him on. But what I would say to that is, let's be honest, that's not rocket science to bring on Benjamin Sesko in that football match. And then maybe what Moyes needed to do was respond to that. But the thing is, when Beto came on, and obviously he took off Erigmini. And then obviously there's more gaps in midfield, more opportunities for United to break through. United didn't do anything with that. They didn't look like they were going to get a second goal, which should have been the way forward.
Like you said, I think after United scored, that their play became worse. They continued to give the ball away. It was almost like a nervousness setting, rather than thinking, do you know what, we're 1-0 up. Let's And Everton were slaughtered to the lambs.
Exactly.
At that stage.
With the team they had out.
But there was no killer instinct. Exactly.
And the thing is, as I say, I'll always say this, and this is why I'll call out these players. Luke Shaw, Harry Maguire, Bruno Fernandes. They're three players that should be leading from the front. To be fair to Maguire, it was his kind of game. Lots of balls in the box. Everton not great on the ball, so he's gonna do well. Luke Shaw, I'm not sure what he did. He didn't really stop any crosses. Bruno Fernandes, he spent most of the game arguing with the referee. But to be fair, the referee was poor for both teams. But as I say, United have managed to get the result. Thanks very much, Dennis. Thanks for your input, as always.
Thanks, Phil.
And to be fair, me and Dennis do like, we do have a lot of banter about Manchester United, Everton, generally, Liverpool as well, because he wants them to do well, and Leicester. But in today's match, we're sat there watching it and we're both just thinking, this is crap. And it was crap. But United were the team that won the day. And Sesko with another crucial goal. Maybe the rest of the team, maybe you need to actually pass to him. That might be helpful. And, you know, as I say, he took off Ahmad for Sesko. And we do need to see a bit more from Ahmad. He could have taken anybody off, but we do need to see a bit more from Ahmad. Because I think he can be a game changer. But as always, thanks for listening. All pods up at www.mufcglobal.co.uk, up on various podcast platforms such as Spotify, Podbean, Listen Notes, Podchaser, PCAST. Search for MUFC Global on your favourite search engine and it will come up. Next up for United is a home match against Crystal Palace. I think I'm back at Old Trafford for that one. Let's hope I actually see a decent quality game of football. Yes, I want United to win, but as I say, if people think that Michael Carrick coming in solves the problem, I mean, what you've watched today, United have got away with one, and some people argue they got away with one against West Ham. At least they came back into that game. But I said in that game, and I said to Dennis in this game at 0-0, whoever gets the first goal, and yet, you know, that's very dangerous in football matches, because if you don't get it, you've got problems. So as always, thanks for listening, and I will be back post-match after the Crystal Palace match. No Dennis then, but we might get him on again, maybe before the end of the season, you see. His dulcet insights into the football, we shall see. So as always, thanks for listening.